The subject I am dealing with tonight deals with the spiritual aspects of what's going on in our life today. Thomas Jefferson made an interesting comment. I think perhaps one of the most profound things I ever heard anyone say. Thomas Jefferson was quoted as saying, "I cringe, I'm in fear, when I remember that God is just." Meaning that you can think whatever you wish, but the bottom line is that that divine presence in the universe that men have called God is very, very exacting. It has its own agenda. It has its own laws and rules and regulations, and it just really doesn't care what you think or how you view anything. It is the law in the universe. We call it God's law. We talk about the fact that we're told to pray for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we talking about? A kingdom in heaven? Most people are totally misunderstanding the implications of those words. Kingdom in heaven goes back to an ancient concept of astrotheology. There is a profound presence in the divine presence in the universe, as I said, that men have called God. But far too many people have misunderstood what this presence of God really represents. And consequently, going back to Thomas Jefferson's quote, "I agree, I am in fear when I remember that God is just." Again, let me clarify that statement. The idea being is that God is just, or that divine principle in the universe is empowered to do its own thing. And it doesn't matter, as I said, how you view or what you might think or what your particular belief systems are. It doesn't matter. That divine presence in the universe is going to do its will. So, as one teacher said many years ago, since you can't stop God from doing something and you can't influence Him to make Him do anything, the smart thing for you to do is just find out what the divine principles of the universe are and go along with it. Just understand we don't make decisions in our lives. There's a divine presence that overshadows the earth and all life on it. And consequently, when we begin to wonder why is it that God allows this to happen, or why is it that God doesn't step in to do something, there is a more profound presence in the universe that views things differently than the way we do. Unfortunately, our country and the world in general has totally misunderstood divine principles and divine symbols. I have come to have a name around the world for being one who sees symbols and emblems and pattern recognition. And I've done a lot of that. And I have a very strong feeling about the symbols and the patterns of symbols I'm seeing throughout the world. And if you know how to read the symbols, you can see what's going on here. There is a very powerful occult, and the word occult simply means hidden. There's a very powerful hidden force operating both in the general universe and on the earth also. We call it, for lack of a better term, the will of God. So much of our religious beliefs and systems that we have accepted are, in point of fact, concepts and ideas coming out of the mind of men, and has very little to do with the actual profound presence of the divine laws that govern the universe. And nations have come and gone, kings have come and gone, princes, rulers, bankers, and no one seems to have ever got the point that we're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to aggrandize ourselves. We're here to learn something, because when we leave here, and we will be doing that rather soon, and when we leave here and we go to this other place, wherever it is that we leave to, we need to be able to know and understand the principles that we have learned about the divine creation. All of this I'm saying to preface the comment that there is a actual, real, and legitimate laws that govern the universe, and it has nothing to do with our spiritual or our religious convictions.
It has its own agenda. Unfortunately, the Romans didn't realize, they didn't know. They thought they understood. The Greeks, the Babylonians, Sumerians, the Egyptians, the British. All of these great nations have gone under because they didn't know how to read the symbols. And consequently, we are in this country now floundering and falling apart and being subjugated as slaves because we don't know how the Spirit works. But believe me, there is a very powerful Spirit at work. Something is going to happen soon. And it has nothing to do with what we're doing. It's going to have to do with the divine presence. And consequently, I wanted to show you how symbols have been used and misused. We are today bombarded by religious institutions and television and radio and churches telling us that we should celebrate certain holidays, we should support particular political movements. My mother once used to say that there's never been a political movement in the world that wasn't a little religious, and there's never been a religious movement in the whole earth that wasn't a little political. Politics and religion are actually one and the same thing. Because if you follow the works of Zechariah Sitchin, we find that in the ancient world, the kings represented both the temporal power, the power of government, but they also represented God. And we still are faced with people who believe that their word is God's law. It is absolutely amazing to me to see how many supposedly intelligent, enlightened people are deceived and brought under the influence of people who present themselves as authorities in the world. Consequently, mankind is not being led, they're being misled. We don't have national leaders, we got misleaders. My friend Dick Gregory, who I love, Dick Gregory always says, the national leaders, you're just getting the government the people represent. We get the kind of government we deserve. The leaders of this country are big and what we are, small. We cheat on a little something here and there. They cheat on nations and kings, but it doesn't matter. Cheating is cheating. Lies are lies. It doesn't matter. But the thing that bothers me more than anything is watching how religions have misrepresented the divine presence, have misrepresented and deceived people into supporting things which is nothing more than political and financial institutions. Just looking at words and terms should tell you something. The very word church, for instance, is an English word. C-H-U-R-C-H is an English word. Church comes from a Scottish word, kirk, K-I-R-K. Remember the old hymn, the Kirk of the Valley? Kirk is Scottish for church in English, but Kirk goes back. Incidentally, that's why you have Captain Kirk and the good ship Enterprise. Enterprise, Captain Kirk. Go back to Captain Kirk, or Kirk being church in Scottish, is traced back to a goddess in Rome, Circe. And the Roman goddess Circe can be traced back to an even more ancient goddess, the goddess Circe in Greece. So the lineage is Circe in Greece, becomes Circe in Rome, becomes Kirk in Scotland, becomes church in English. Now in the ancient Greek world, Circe, Mother Kirk, Mother Church, look it up in the encyclopedia. Circe was a goddess who was able to hypnotize people, bring them into her house, turn them into animals, and live off of them. And this is precisely what the church has done. It has hypnotized people, taken their nationality away, taken their individual creativity and spirituality away, and brought them into a corporate enterprise, and consequently has turned them into animals. And consequently today the animals are killing each other all over the world because of church, religion, philosophies. And this concept of God's chosen people, you know, we're told that in the Hebrew religion that it's the only, that was the original monotheistic religion. I have a very high respect for holy writings, for the Bible, for the Old and New Testament, but I'm also a student of history. And one can read very simply that the Jews were never a monotheistic people, ever. The Hebrew religion was a heno, spelled H-E-N-O, henotheistic religion. Henotheistic is not monotheistic. Henotheistic means choosing one God out of many. So consequently, we are told that the Hebrew people were the worshippers of one God. Absolutely not. When you get into the background of theology and religion, you're going to find, as I have found, that Judaism is a main foundation for Western civilization, and that's why I'm talking about it. Judaism is the most eclectic religion on the face of the earth, in my opinion. I don't think there's another religion or a philosophy on the earth that has collected more from other institutions and from other peoples and amalgamated it into one religion. It's fascinating when you begin to see where these ideas and concepts come from in the Bible and in the Old Testament Hebrew. For instance, the Hebrews at one time were worshippers of the moon, the moon god. This is why in the Vatican and in France and the Louvre Museum, the carvings and the sculptures of Moses has the lunar horns. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Moses in the Vatican has horns. Why? It's because the horns were always referred to as the lunar horn. It was always a symbol for the moon god. Why? Because the moon in its lower quarter is like horns. And consequently, this is why American Indian chiefs all had horns as the chiefs. And the Vikings wore horns. These were lunar worshiping peoples, the American Indians, Vikings, and the Hebrews. The moon god in Arabia was called Sin, S-I-N. That was his name, Sin. And in the ancient Arabic language, a mountain is Ai. So you put the god of the mountain, the old moon god of the mountain, they still have the mountain of the moon in Africa today. But when you put the Sin Ai together, it becomes Sinai. Mount Sinai is the Sin, the moon god, and his mountain is Ai in Arabic. So Mount Sinai, there's nothing holy about Mount Sinai. It's the worship of the moon god. And consequently, this is why the Jewish holidays are after sundown, because that's when the moon comes out. As opposed to, of course, on Sunday, when Christians are worshiping on the day of the sun. So consequently, all holidays are after sundown, because Moses was the leader of the moon cult. Mount Sinai, Sin Ai. Then there's a time in the Hebrew history, in the Old Testament history, where the planet Saturn became the dominant deity for the Jewish people. Saturn, very important. I would suggest that the planet Saturn is the most important subject you're ever going to be introduced to. Saturn plays a profound, significant part in our country today, in the political situation that this country's in. The planet Saturn is profoundly important to understand. He's referred to as the Lord of the Rings. They still make movies about him. Lord of the Rings. Consequently, Saturn was a very important god to the Hebrews and to the Phoenician Canaanites. And the Phoenician Canaanites actually gave birth to a group of people in Northern Europe called the Celtic Druids. Druidism is actually a Phoenician Canaanite theology. It's a Phoenician Canaanite, meaning Druidism in Northern Europe and in Western Europe in general actually can be traced back through Rome, back to Greece, back into what we call today Israel and that area, Druidism. And as I've said before, one of the most important symbols of the Druidic Phoenician Canaanite religion is a magic wand. You know, like Merlin the magician with his magic wand. Magic wands were always made out of the wood of a holly tree. It was made out of holly wood. And this is exactly why we're still being worked the magic on us out of holly wood. It is a Druidic Phoenician Canaanite symbol of actual, legitimate magic that's being worked on this country. Let's get back to the planet Saturn for a moment. Saturn is an extremely important planet symbolically in world religions today. The wars that are going on in the Middle East definitely connected to the planet Saturn. And most people have no idea in the world what's going on, but the people who run this world, they're very well aware of the symbols and what these things mean. Saturn was referred to as I said, the Lord of the Rings. Women were told in ancient Israel to listen to their god, so they wore an ear ring. Men were to get married before their god, so they wore a wedding ring. Consequently, the kings were to be crowned before their god Saturn, so they wore the round corona, the ring, Lord of the Rings. Black was the color associated with the planet Saturn. We have different planets and different colors associated with the different planets coming from the ancient world, but black was the color associated with the planet Saturn. So therefore, all the priests would wear black robes, just as Catholic priests wear black robes, judges wear black robes, rabbis wear black robes. Young people graduating from university and college, they come out wearing a black robe. Somebody better go back and do your homework. You know what a black robe represents and why judges wear black robes? And consequently, when you graduate from university, it's a Saturnalian event. Saturn is the great teacher, the inhibitor. Incidentally, Saturn was referred to as the inhibitor, one who holds you back and teaches you a lesson. So he holds you back and inhibits you and inhibits your movement. He arrests your movement. So consequently, the Hebrews said, since he's always inhibiting you, and since we go to Tepel on Saturn's day, why don't we just do nothing on Saturday? And that's why today there's something called a Sabbath, in which you do nothing from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. It's called Sabbath. But Sabbath is actually based on a Phoenician word, Shabbat. And Shabbat is based on an old ancient Sumerian word for Saturn. Saturn was called Shabbat, and the worship of Saturn was called the Sabbath. So consequently, when you hear that there's a very important occasion, the Sabbath, it's very important if you're worshiping the planet Saturn, wake up. It's very important if you're worshiping the moon, to have your holidays after sundown. Saturn was referred to as El in the old Phoenician language, E-L. El was the planet Saturn. Today, if you are promoting the worship of Saturn, you're referred to as an elder. How did you get to be an elder? You got elected. How did you get elected, and what comes from being elected? Well, you become now one of the elites. You are one of the elites because you're now elevated in society. Look up these words and these terms. Consequently, you have priests and ministers roaming around with their black robes and talking about how we should support Israel. The ancient Phoenician Canaanite people called the Hyksos were in Egypt. The Hyksos people were in Egypt. Today we refer to them as the Hebrew people. And at the time of the Hyksos were in Egypt, Isis, I-S-I-S, was a goddess in Egypt, I-S-I-S, Isis. And consequently, one of the pharaohs came along, I think it was Tutankhamun's father, Pharaoh Akhenaten, and he changed the whole worship of Isis, female divine wisdom, to the new god, the sun, and he called the sun Amun-Ra, from which we get the word sun ray, Amun-Ra, Amun-Ra. So now you have Amun-Ra, or Amun-Ra. Incidentally, this is why Christians say Amen in church, because the sun was called Amun-Ra, Amun-Ra. And the Egyptians said nobody can talk to God, no one ever has seen God, but you can talk to his son, who will take the message to him. And so therefore, at the end of their prayers in Egypt, they would say Amen, because it was Amun-Ra, God's son, the light of the world, who takes the message to his father. So consequently, we had Isis, and then we have the complete destruction of the worship of Isis, and brought in a new religion, as I said, Amun-Ra. And then when the Hyksos moved north into Palestine, they encountered the planet Saturn. Saturn, as I said, was called El. If you take the I-S, R-A for Ra, and E-L, it becomes Israel. Israel is Isis, Ra, and El. The three names of the esoteric languages of the world for the sun and for the ancient gods of the ancient world. So when you're going to send your money and give all of your support to Israel, just remember you're supporting a country that is filled. That's why it's called the Holy City. Jerusalem is referred to as the Holy City. Why the Holy City? It's because every kind of screwball, dim-witted religion that has ever been on the face of the earth has come out of Jerusalem. They've had child sacrifices, pornography, blood rituals, moon worship, Saturn worship, sun worship, my God, that whole area is filled with lunacy. It is today the center of world lunacy. And the secret societies and fraternal orders out of England, France, Germany, and America are manipulating the peoples of this world to support something called the reestablishment of Solomon's Temple. If you understand that Solomon is simply three words in the ancient languages for the sun, Sol, S-O-L, is Latin for the sun. Om is Hindu for the sun. And On, O-N, is the city of the sun. In Egypt, the Greeks call it Heliopolis, but the Egyptians call the city of the sun On. That's why you flip a light switch on, because On was a city of the sun that brought light into the world. So Sol, Latin, Om, Hindu, On, Egyptian. Put it together, it becomes Sol-Om On, or Solomon. There was no King Solomon. There was no King David. I even asked a Rabbi Marvin Antelman many years ago, he's probably gone now, but many years ago he was the president of the American Rabbinical Association. And I asked him, I said, Rabbi Antelman, tell me the truth. Did these people who actually are in the Old Testament, did they really live, King Solomon, King David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc.? And he said to me, look it, it's a religion. The Catholics have got Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Hindus have Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. The Egyptians have Osiris, Isis, Horus. I mean, we're Jews, we got to have something too. I mean, it's just a religion, but we got to have something. So it's a triune God. It's always Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Osiris, Isis, Horus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's always a triune. So they came up with the idea of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There was no Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It's just a play on terms and symbols and words. And when you talk to the rabbis and confront them, they'll say, yeah, that's true. It's just a religious teaching. I mean, but, you know, was there Osiris, Isis, Horus? No, it's symbolism. Well, so is the rest of the religions of the world. Just symbolism. You would be surprised at how much the planet Saturn plays in world politics. Again, when kids graduate from university, incidentally, the word graduate comes from two words, gradually indoctrinate. So consequently, when you graduate, you come out with a square martyr board. The square martyr board, what is a martyr board? It's a metal square with a handle so that you put cement on it when you're building with bricks. And it's called a martyr board. You're wearing the martyr board when you graduate from university. The martyr board is a symbol of masonry. This is why you go to college to get a degree. Consequently, you need to understand that all universities and colleges in the Western world operate under the Vatican. All universities and colleges. So if you want to save your money to send your kids to college, just remember you're sending them to a Jesuit, Catholic-dominated ancient Roman Empire system whereby your children are to gradually be indoctrinated into a system of religion, politics, and theology. So what you need to understand is that there is a symbolic world in which we live. And if you don't understand the symbols and the words and terms, you're never going to figure out how this stuff works. But none of this has anything to do with God or with the divine. Incidentally, God is merely the word dog spelled backwards. This is why churches have dogma. You need to remember that God spelled backwards is dog. Why? It goes back to Anubis. In Egypt, Anubis was the dog, the god. Many of you remember seeing the dog in Egypt. That's Anubis. Sirius. The Hebrews were very big on the worship of Cyrus, or Osirius, which is where we get the word Osiris, from the star system of Sirius. This is where we get our word sir, yes sir, no sir, from Sirius, Osiris. All of this, I'm saying, to bring you to a point where you can understand that religion and theology, for the most part in this world, are based on political and ancient secret societies and fraternal orders. And they are manipulating the entire human race today and laughing behind everyone's back. I have watched this over the years. I've worked on television programs at CBS. I've worked on kinds of programs with these religious institutions. And I am amazed at how much people just don't know about how government really works. Let me give you an example on symbols and words and how they're used. Why do you have to go to court? And, you know, everybody's scared to death because you got to go to court. You go to court because you play basketball on a court. You play tennis on a court. How do you play tennis on a court? You play with a racket. Why? Because the whole thing is a racket. They're using these terms purposely. So, therefore, you're in court. Well, the whole idea of the court is to put the ball back in the other guy's court. And the idea is to see who wins, right? And the judge is wearing a black robe. He represents Saturn, the inhibitor, the law, the God's law. Incidentally, look in a law dictionary. Look up the word fas, F-A-S. Fas is a word in Latin for God's law, F-A-S, fas. Look it up in a dictionary. You will see that fascism or fascism is the law of God. What God? The Roman Caesar's God. Fascism, Marxism, Leninism, Nazism, totalitarianism. They consider themselves God's inhibitors. They are the ones who own the earth. God's law, fascism. Going back to the court, the judge wears a black robe. Why? Well, because he represents, like the priest, like the rabbi, he represents the planet Saturn, the inhibitor. He sits on a bench. He rules from the bench. The word bench in Latin means bank. A bench is bank in Latin. And consequently, where do you find a bank? You find banks on both sides of a river. They're called river banks. And what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency. Consequently, this is why the juice coming out of the wall is called a circuit court. It's a whole thing has to do with Saturn, the god called El, who gets El elected, who puts you as one of the El elites. You are now an elder. And why? Because now you have the juice. It's called electricity. Electricity is the juice that makes things work. The circuit court. The whole entire concept in government and religion and churches is the flow. Go with the flow of the symbols and the emblems. I am of the opinion that one day, somewhere along the line, this country is going to wake up and find out that it has been suckered into a new world order, which is directly traceable to the secret societies that were invented by the Jesuit order of the Catholic Church. I am totally convinced that what we call the New World Order is a Jesuit Catholic work. Keep in mind that the Catholic Church, and I was born Catholic, my mother died a Catholic, my family is all Catholic, so I'm not complaining about talking about the Catholic people, I'm talking about a corporation, an ancient empire. Rome has dominated Europe for 1600 years. Rome dominated Europe. Europe has dominated the world, and the Pope dominates Rome. So consequently, the Holy Father has dominated for 1600 years, bloodshed, violence, anarchy. All of the most atrocious acts of inhumanity have been committed by the Roman Church. As far back as the 4th, 5th, and 6th century, we know that the escapades of the popes, many of them were homosexuals, most of them were murderers. They were all offsprings of bankers. The entire Vatican system was a banking system. Today's uniform commercial codes based on the old Vatican canon law. So once you understand, the church, government, politics are all interconnected, and the secret societies have been manipulating them all from day one. And I am of the opinion that there's never going to be a change in this country until people find out that there's a world of difference between being religious and being spiritual. And I believe that once you understand that there are laws governing the universe, and once we get in tune with that, you're going to find out that God is still in control. We are not, but God is. Somebody a long time ago said, always trust a person looking for truth. Don't ever trust the one who's found it. Consequently, I don't present myself as the world's foremost authority on anything. I'm just an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I don't know who God is, but I know what it isn't. And I know that once you understand how the celestial bodies in our solar system affect us and affect each other, you'd be surprised how much the planets around in our solar system affect us. Are you aware of the fact, for instance, that the Sun is pulled 4 degrees out of orbit toward the planet Jupiter? I learned that at an observatory once. The Sun is pulled by the planet Jupiter 4 degrees out of orbit. So wherever Jupiter happens to be, the Sun moves toward it 4 degrees. And if Jupiter's over here, the Sun will move toward it 4 degrees. Why? It's because the electromagnetic force field, gravitational force field of Jupiter is so profoundly strong that it can even pull the Sun toward it. Consequently, the ancient Romans said that Jupiter was the protector of our Earth. He protects us. And in point of fact, that's true. Because we're being told all the time by so-called scientists that, oh, we're waiting for this a comet to hit the Earth and a great meteor or something hitting the Earth. When anyone who's got 500 brain cells and has done any research on the subject knows that the gravitational force field of Jupiter is so strong that anything coming into our solar system is going to be sucked right into Jupiter. So most of the big comets or anything that would hit the Earth are never going to hit us because they're going to be hitting Jupiter to start with. Incidentally, the very word Jew in the King's Old English, if you go back to the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language and look up the word J-E-W, it will tell you that in the King's Old English, J-E-W was spelled I-U. And incidentally, pater. This is another interesting word, pater, P-A-T-E-R. Pater is an old Phoenician name for our word for God or for the Father God, pater. Ayu and Jew and pater, Father God. You put the two together, it becomes Ayu pater, I-U pater. And I's and J's are interchangeables, so you can make it J-U pater or Jupater. And this is where the word Jupiter comes from. From the combining of different words in the ancient languages. What I'm saying here is that we need to understand, and that's an interesting word, understand. Anytime you're going to put a heavy weight up on the second floor, say you're going to be doing some construction and you're going to be putting a lot of weight on the second floor, you need to go downstairs and go up to the ceiling and check on the rafters and see what kind of foundation you're going to put that weight on, to see if it's going to hold it. So consequently, you are standing under the thing you're studying. You're standing under to get understanding. This is where the word comes from. You need to stand under the foundation of a subject to figure out what you're doing here. So many people do not know how to stand under a subject. You need to take hours of research to find out where these words come from. Where do these systems arrive at? What do these words mean? And then you find out the word capital. The word capital is a Latin word in Rome for money. So if you don't have the capital, you can't do anything. Capital is money, or the word for money. Now, a lot of people understand the UCC process. Let me just give you a basic concept if you don't know. There are two basic kinds of law in the world, the law of the land and law of water. People live on land. So consequently, the law of the land is the law of the people who live on the land. That's what's called the law of the land. Well, the law of the land is different in every country. You can do things in Africa you can't do in Russia. I mean, you can do things in China you can't do here. Why? Because of the law of the land. People live on the land. But then there's something called the law of water. The law of water is called maritime admiralty. It's the law of water is the law of money. So when people say money goes through your hands like water, no, money is water. International maritime law is the law of water or money. Banks, they direct the flow of the currency. So consequently, when you understand how products that come in on a ship, I mean the captain of a ship, captain of an airship, captain of a rocket ship, sailing ship, it doesn't matter, a captain is a captain. And captains occupy the same position as high priests like the Pope. You don't think so? Mess around with the on the ship and see if the captain doesn't have absolute sovereign power on the sea. There's a law of banking called the law of the water, the law of the sea. And this is why when you sign documents in blue, that's a commercial signature is in blue. Why? Because the sea is blue. This is why the Navy has an admiral, Navy Blue. All of these words are connected to an ancient system coming out of what we call ancient Israel or Phoenicia Cana. You've heard the name and you've heard the word Cana, Canaanites. The word Cana is a Phoenician word for banker or merchant banker. Consequently, merchant, merchant, is like mermaid. Merchant is someone who is actually using the water to make money, a merchant. That's why the Bible even talks about the merchants who make their great wealth on the seas of the world. Again, Uniform Commercial Code, Maritime Admiralty Law, directly connected to the Vatican Canon Law, directly connected to the old Phoenician Canaanite Maritime Admiralty Law. All of this stuff is being administered by secret societies and fraternal orders around the world, manipulating the whole human race. And virtually nobody has figured out how this stuff works. But let me tell you, it does work. Once you understand how the words and what the words mean and how when you go into a court, if you're smart, you don't even have to go into a court. I am not the world's foremost authority on this subject, but I have been watching for the past 6 to 7 months something going on that I am personally involved in. And I have been watching what's happening with this situation. And I have discovered, it has been told to me and explained to me, that when government comes after you, state, county, city, especially federal and big government, when they come after you for whatever reason, there are four things that you can do. Two of them are very bad and two of them are good. The four things you can do, the first two are bad. The first thing you don't want to do is hire an attorney and fight the case. If you hire an attorney and fight the case, what you have done is you are dishonoring their charge. When you plug something into the wall, you're going to get a charge. And so they're going to bring you into court to charge you. But if you hire an attorney, you have lost already. The moment you hire an attorney, you've lost, because it implies you're going to fight the charges. And once you fight the charges, you are now under their jurisdiction. You have now entered a fight. You've walked into the ring, and now you're going to be a part of the fight. And you've already lost. The second thing that you don't want to do is ignore the charge. Whatever they send you in paperwork, they're going to do this or that, and they're charging you with this or that. You don't want to ignore it. You want to answer it. But you don't want to hire an attorney to fight it, because you've lost when you do. The two things that you do need to do, or you need to know about, is you accept what they're saying that they're charging you with. You accept it. And it's called a conditional acceptance. And I'm not the authority on this. I've just found this out within the last couple of months. And I don't have all of the details on it, but it is very important that you need to understand. And I've got the experts who have been looking at this and who have been working with this, and it's working. When you accept whatever the government says you've done on the condition, you can turn around and use that acceptance with exemption under the Uniform Commercial Code, and consequently you can accept whatever they are charging you with and pay it off with your UCC exemption. I don't know how all of this works, but I've been watching it happening, and I understand that it is working. And so I've got some videos from the people who have given lectures on this subject of how government and courts work, really work. So I'm going to make that available pretty soon so that you can study it for yourself. I just think it's a very interesting the way courts and governments actually work. I wanted to get back to the point of how symbols work, what these terms and symbols mean, and show you how we are being misled and deceived by accepting certain political and religious concepts. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely outrageous that the human family should bow down its knees to man-made religions and man-made governments, when in point of fact, God has not asked you to bow down to anything or be under anything or be under any government. I don't consider myself subject to any man, any government at all, period. I believe that the ones who have created us have given us the earth to live on, and we are not to be under any domination by anyone. I abhor the idea of somebody telling me that the authorities, the very word authority is abhorrent to me. Where do you come off of being an authority? My God is my authority. I don't need your authority. The word authority comes from the word author. You haven't authored anything. Your scribbling comes from your scribes who scribble scripture and who scribble scripts. This is why in Hollywood you have script writers. Script writers are writing scripts. They're called scribblers who scribble scripts. Think about Hollywood. Think about how this stuff works. You've got people with big money who intend to manipulate and exploit you. They hire people to act like humans. They're not real humans. They just look like humans, and they are scripted. They are told exactly what to say and how to say it, just like a president has his speech writers. So they give you a speech. They give you something to say, and then they're going to put you on film and have a director to make sure you say it just the right way. So they have a director, they have the lights, and they have you say what they want you to say the way they want you to say it so that it looks like you're actually human and it looks like you actually care. And it's a very emotional scene. Of course, after the lights go off and they say, cut, he's back to his boyfriend and smoking his dope and whatever else they're doing. And they couldn't care less about the human family. As far as they're concerned, we are all cattle, chattel property. Nothing but to be entertained. So consequently, once you see how Hollywood puts together motion pictures, television, and it is a world of illusion, lies, deception, most of the people in Hollywood know that. There was a man named Stanley Kubrick who directed his last movie called Eyes Wide Shut. The movie Eyes Wide Shut, I think, from what indications I've received out of Hollywood, he died because of that film. I think he was assassinated because of that film, and I think he knew that his days were cut short. You need to get the movie, rent it and watch it, Eyes Wide Shut by Stanley Kubrick. Because in the movie he shows how very sophisticated, wealthy, intelligent elites actually live with their secret societies, blood sacrifices, murder, rape, pornography, killing. But on the surface, they are very important-looking people. They have nice suits, and they look good on television. And behind the scenes, they are murderous. And that's what the movie was called, Eyes Wide Shut, because that's exactly what America is doing. It's looking at these politicians and religious leaders with their eyes wide shut. Political leaders, religious leaders, all the same thing. We need to start thinking in terms of your own personal spirituality, your divine presence with God, just you and that divine presence in the universe, and nothing should come in between that. No church, no government, no synagogue. Incidentally, the word synagogue, in America we spell it S-Y-N-A, synagogue, but if you go to Egypt, it's not spelled that way. In Egypt, it's S-I-N-A-G-O-G. Synagogue, again, going back to the moon god Sin. Church, the building itself is called a nave. This is why we have a United States Navy. It has to do with maritime admiralty law and the church. Europe is filled with lies, deception, and I think perhaps it's a toss-up in my personal, for me, it's a toss-up as to what is the most disgusting human institution on the face of the earth. It's either the British royalty or the Vatican. I think the Vatican wins. It's incredible what the Vatican has involved itself in for 1,600 years and what the British royalty are all about. You've heard about David Icke, probably. David Icke I brought here to America back in 1994. David Icke is famous for his talking about the reptilians and the reptilian presence in mankind. There's a guy named Lloyd Pye, and Lloyd Pye is a very brilliant guy. He's a very good friend of mine, but he talks about how the human body was created, how it actually works. And in his presentation, and this is true, he shows how inside the human brain, the two lobes of your brain, if you open the lobes up, there's a smaller brain inside, and scientists call that, doctors call that, the reptilian principle or something like that. The word is reptilian. And I'm thinking, why would the doctors or why would medical science use that term for that little lobe, that little brain between the two lobes of the brain, reptilian? It would not surprise me if our ancestry goes back into the ancient world. Michael Cremo is a brilliant guy who has been working for many years trying to show people artifacts that have been found on the earth, artifacts that are at least 4 billion years old. They're finding things in South Africa, way, way down, thousands of feet down, carvings of little steel ball bearings kind of things, and they've got chiseling marks around them. All of them are identical, and it's found in strata so far down, they are saying it's at least 4 billion years old, the strata. So somebody was here messing around with these little ball bearings 4 billion years ago. I am of the opinion that this human race that we're a part of is of extremely ancient, ancient creation. It's been around for millions and millions of years. When we see in Israel today, I mean, I have so many things I'd like to talk with you about, but especially when we see in Israel today, the archaeologists, these paid lackeys of the system that get their grant from the government to go out and dig in the sand and make themselves look important. And they dig down about 6 or 8 feet, and they found some little pottery, and there's a big thing on TV, and that's an archaeologist. No, my feeling is, off the coast of England in the North Sea, when they're drilling for oil, the oil drills go down, all the way down to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, and then they start cutting into the ocean floor off the coast of England. 1,000 feet down under the Atlantic Ocean, they're bringing up, because they're sucking up the material inside this thing that's cutting, this round hole that's cutting into the earth, the stuff that's coming up through it. They're finding artifacts, human-made artifacts, or someone-made artifacts, 1,000 feet under the Atlantic Ocean, are artifacts. Somebody better do their homework and start looking at this, because it just don't fit with the Bible unless we're misreading the scriptures. And if you go back to Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That's not what it says in the original Hebrew. It doesn't say that. Well, what it does say, Genesis 1:1, is in the beginning the gods, Elohim, the gods, more than one, plural. The gods created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void." No, it doesn't say that in Hebrew. The word is tohu bohu, which means, instead of reading it, "the earth became a waste," no, "the earth was without form and void." Tohu bohu is, "the earth became a waste and a desolation." Was not without form and void, but became a waste and a desolation. And in all the Hebrew Bibles, you see it. In the Jewish reference works, you see it. Genesis 1:2 is misstated in the King James Bible. So I'm saying, between Genesis 1:1, when the gods created the heavens and the earth, and Genesis 1:2, could be hundreds of millions of years. And many of these scholars in the field of biblical archaeology know that there's a world of difference between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The human family could be millions of years old. I am totally convinced for my own self that we are the product of a higher intelligence in the universe. I don't think that for 1 minute that we just evolved here. The evolution makes no common sense to anyone who thinks very deeply on it. I mean, what was one eye doing while the other eye was evolving? How come everything is balanced? I mean, fish have two eyes, just like all other animals have two eyes. The whole entire earth reeks of design. Somebody has been designing something for a long time. And once you begin to see how the human history, ancient history, is telling us something about who is in charge here, I believe that there is, in point of fact, right now on the earth, for lack of a better term to describe it, extraterrestrial life forms. I'm totally convinced that they're here. I am totally convinced, too, for myself, that these extraterrestrial life forms are the exact same thing that the King James Bible is talking about when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Elohim. Elohim is not God. El is God in the Old Phoenician language, and Lohim is like putting an S on the end of a word. We have C-A-R or C-A-R-S, making it plural. Well, in the Old Phoenician or Hebrew language, El is God, but Lohim is plural. And so consequently, in the beginning, Elohim, or the gods, created the heavens and the earth. And then later on in Genesis 1:2, it says, and the gods said, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What do you mean, come, let us? Was God talking to himself? Consequently, you begin to see how there's a lot hidden in the Old Testament that they haven't told you about yet. Ancient rabbis knew it, and they talked about the presence of the gods here on earth, whoever they are. And I believe that this is exactly what we are facing today. If you remember Abraham, the story is a metaphor. The story is a symbolic story telling you something, but three men come walking up into the camp, and Abraham saw the three men and went out to talk to them and had them sit down and have something to eat with him. That's in Genesis 8. Then we find out later the three men were actually God and his two accompanying angels. Go back and read us in Genesis. So if you're going to accept the Bible, you need to go back and read Genesis, where God sat down and had dinner with Abraham and his two angels. So the three of them look like men. I'm saying that the Hebrew or the ancient Jewish tradition says that their gods look like us. They have created us in their image. And there's a very good possibility that that's exactly the case, that we are an experiment of a higher race that has come here from another place, and we are actually connected to the stars. And we didn't even know it. We thought we just evolved here. No, no, nothing this complex as a human with a human brain and the human creature evolved anywhere. Somebody designed us. Obviously, even Christian people refer to it as God. God created us. I don't care how you view it. We didn't just get here by chance, and somebody else is in control, and you need to understand that whoever that one was or whoever they are in control and not us. I'm also of the opinion that many of the political leaders, like David Icke, who talks about the reptilians, I believe that it would not surprise me, I should say, that if we find out that political leaders are not actually human at all, that they very well might be the Elohim that the Bible talked about, who look like us. We're made in their image and likeness, but they're not like us. They don't care a damn about human life. They don't care about anything human. They're here to do one thing, and that is what they're good at, and that's to control the creature. So I'm thinking that it's about time we start waking up and taking back our own spirituality and getting in tune with the universe. When we're talking about the political situation in this country, I am amazed at how many people have not done their homework and see the overwhelming and obvious implications of things which are happening in this country. Too many people have allowed Hollywood, the scriptwriters, the managers of civilization to manipulate our thinking. I think that the human creature is very, very powerful. I think that we are a very powerful creation. Our brains and our minds are extremely powerful. And once you get in tune and concentrate and get in tune with your own spirituality, and no longer concerned about whoever does anything on the outside world and the political arena, and get in tune with your own God force inside of you, that is extremely challenging to the people who would control you. Because they know that if you ever got into your own center and you understood the laws in the universe and you lived by them, that gives you a lot of power and a lot of protection. Anyone who's interested in this subject which I brought up before, astrotheology, I believe that astrotheology is what we're talking about when we talk about the kingdom of heaven. I'm totally convinced that astrotheology is a concept that is wrapped up in the New Testament, that's in the Old Testament, but especially in the New Testament, and we're missing something if we don't see it. There's a whole world of knowledge that's locked into the New Testament. That's why the Bible has Jesus saying, many will look with their eyes but not see. They will listen with their ears but not hear, and with the heart not get the sense of it. And I think that's exactly what's going on here today. We're looking at something in the Bible and misunderstanding, misrepresenting. Our spirituality is at stake now, and our country is at stake. Our country was based on individual spiritual creativity and freedom. That's a concept that's been lost now. You need to look up the word new man. The word is N-U-N-E-W-M-A-N, new man, like Paul Newman. Many of the Jewish people have different interesting names, like new man. That's a very important term. You need to do some research on it. Adolf Hitler talked about the new man. The Communist Party talks about the new man. Mussolini talked about the new man. Totalitarian dictatorships all talk about something called the new man. And it's always in quote. Go on the web and put in quote, new man, end quote, and see what comes up. All of the totalitarian dictatorships talk about something which they're working toward called the new man. And this new man, Adolf Hitler explained it better than anyone, in my opinion. He said, this new man is going to be a race of people on the earth who have lost all identity with the old ways of caring about people, love and family, etc. And they are going to be totally robots in our hands. Not going to have anything to do with the old order of living the way we have lived before. The new man is going to be one who has no connections with God, spirituality, or nothing else. He's merely an automatron. He's automated word control. And this is what we are today, word control. While these people are trying to bring about something called a new man, I think that what they're getting ready to do is they're beginning, slowly but surely, to crush human spirituality, crush out of existence human freedom, and bring about a civilization that's based on fear and the law and obeying the powers that be. And somewhere along the line, I think that their spirit, the one we call God, the spirit, is going to do something on this earth, and it's going to be horrendous. Because somewhere along the line, Rome fell. Adolf Hitler could go as far as he could go and went no further, and he fell. I believe that the powers that be in this country are slowly but surely putting themselves into a position where the divine presence is going to do something very serious. This country is going to pay a terrible price for what we have allowed to happen. The people are going to pay. And when you look around at the people who are going to pay, just remember, this is the way it was in the Roman Empire. It was in all the other ancient empires. It doesn't matter. God is not one to be mocked. What you sow, you reap. There will come a day when this country is going to pay the price for what it has allowed to become and what the people have allowed themselves to become. So I think in conclusion, I would say that your need to become spiritually in tune with the rest of civilization, with the universe, is very important. And I think the way to do this is to quietly, and this is the way I have done it, and I've seen it work over and over, is quietly talk to the spirit that is around you continually, this God force which is around you. Somehow or another, it hears you, and somehow or another, it deals with you. And consequently, I would suggest you talk to it, ask it to protect you, to help you, to open up your eyes, to see what you need to see, to why you're here, where you're going. You'd be surprised what that kind of thing will do. It's a very powerful force that's around you. It's called the God force, and many, many different words can be used for it. I call it the spirit. I'm suggesting that what we need to do is become more spiritual and get totally away from this whole manipulation of the human family, this new man that they're planning on having, because somewhere along the line, I think this whole thing is going to collapse, and when it does, it's going to be a time when we have to depend on our connection with the spirit to protect us. I see this coming very soon. Yeah, one other point I wanted to make. I have some videos. I have a video of a television show, and maybe you didn't know about this. This is a TV show. I taped it off of television. Back in February of 2001, this is about 7 or 8 months before 9/11, and there was a movie, a motion picture, an hour movie about how the president and his cabinet got together and they planned on knocking down the World Trade Center with two 767 jets, blaming on the Arabs, and bring about a world war. And the whole movie is about how the 767s are flying into the World Trade Center and how it's all been planned. It was a movie. It was called The Lone Gunman. I cannot believe it. 8 months, 7 months before it actually happened, there was a motion picture on television called The Lone Gunman, in which the president with all of his cabinet are planning on flying two 767s into the World Trade Center. That's Hollywood. They're telling you something. They're manipulating you with stories. This whole thing with Twin Towers. The Twin Towers, very important. The newest movie, Lord of the Rings, is subtitled The Twin Towers. Hollywood. What you need to know is that this Twin Towers represents Jacob and Boaz in the Bible. It goes back to Jacob and Boaz, the Twin Towers that were in all the way back to Samaria, Babylonia, Phoenicia, Cana, Egypt, and to Greece and to Rome. Always there were Twin Towers. This whole idea of Twin Towers, this is why you see all of the different churches always have Twin Towers. There's a whole symbolism just in the concept of Twin Towers. So you need to understand we're being manipulated and exploited, and I, for one, have had enough, and I want to thank you for hearing me. If you have any questions.
How does the Order of the Skull and Bones connect with the Crown Templar?
The Gestapo in Nazi Germany, their symbol was a skull and bones. Skull and bones is a Nazi arrangement. I mean, even Adolf Hitler talked about skull and bones. But Bagent Lee and Lincoln, in their book about 15 years ago, that was a New York bestseller, you really need to get that book, and you can still buy it today in bookstores, called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Holy Blood, Holy Grail talked about skull and bones, but not like the skull and bones society that the president belongs to, but the real skull and bones symbol. It goes back to the Knights Templar, Masonic Order, skull and bones. This is why on the Jolly Roger, the flag that the pirates used to have in the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean, their flag was always a black flag because it was represented toxic, deadly. It was black flag. And on the black flag was a skull and crossbones. Skull and bones on the pirate flags represented the Knights Templars. The Knights Templars in the 9th and 10th century set up in Europe what we call today international banking. So the international bankers today in Switzerland, that's why the Pope has a Swiss guard. In Rome, the Pope has something called a Swiss guard. The Swiss guard represents the Knights Templars guarding the boss of Rome, the Holy Father, Knights Templars, international banking. That's why Switzerland is the home of the Knights Templar. And even the Swiss flag has the red cross on a white background. Incidentally, if you fly over, and I've got beautiful pictures in color of this, if you fly over the Vatican and look down on the Vatican, you will see the British flag. It's called the Union Jack flag. It's a crisscross, which is the up and down cross, which is called the Cross of St. George. And behind it is a crisscross called the Cross of St. Andrew. You put the two crosses together, crisscross and the straight cross, and it becomes a double cross. And that's why the British have been double-crossing people for years. That's where the word comes from. We've been double-crossed. Double-cross goes back to British banking fraternities, the Knights Templars, double-crossing the whole world. Switzerland, very interesting place. Switzerland has the Knights Templar cross. That's why today you have organizations called the American Red Cross, Wake Up Red Cross. It's a Cross of St. George. It's a Masonic Knights Templar organization that operates behind enemy lines. And you say, oh, well, the Red Cross can go behind enemy lines. Of course the Red Cross can go behind enemy lines. They are the enemy. They're financing the enemy. They're financing both sides. That's why it's called the Red Cross, the Cross of St. George, which is the Swiss national symbol in Switzerland for the banks in Switzerland. I'm saying you need to understand how this stuff works. Skull and crossbones is very obviously a Nazi German ancient symbol. And then the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, they go into the old ancient stuff that the cross, the skull and crossbones connected to. Holy Blood, Holy Grail.
You mentioned the constellation Sirius. There's another constellation, Orion. Mm-hmm. And ordinarily, I wouldn't know this, but I happen to own a Subaru car, a little Japanese car. And I was reading, I believe there's seven stars in the constellation Orion. And when you look at a Subaru, I found out Subaru is a Japanese word for Orion. And if you look at the hood ornament on a Subaru, it has the seven little stars on it tied together. And I was wondering what the significance of Orion is. You mentioned a Sirius.
There's even a motion picture company called Orion Pictures.
Yes,
Orion is very important in the Jewish system. And the Jewish system of mysticism, the Pleiades, Orion, especially Sirius, all of these are very important to mystical Judaism. And as a whole, I got the reference works on that, but I would suggest just go on the web and put in quotes. And anytime you go on the web to do any research, make sure you put quotes around the word you're looking for. If you put in Orion is one thing, but if you put quote Orion end quote, then it will go directly to where that word is used the way you're looking for it. So always put quotes around whatever it is you're looking for on the internet. Orion, very important. Go on the web because there's a lot of material on Jewish mysticism connected to Orion. That's why it's Orion Pictures.
I had one other one. You mentioned the word mirror, which there's a song, La Mer. Does that mean the sea?
Mirror.
You mentioned merchant. M-E-R is merchants.
Mirror.
So chant. I guess M-E-R is sea, isn't it?
Yeah.
S-E-A.
Mirror is a Phoenician Canaanite word. Incidentally, keep this in mind. When you hear the term Hebrew, the word Hebrew, or Hebrew language, you say, well, so-and-so means this in Hebrew, or means that in Hebrew, or in Hebrew it says this or that. When you hear that term Hebrew, understand there is no such a thing as a Hebrew language. What we call the Hebrew language is a Phoenician Canaanite language, which is spoken by Hebrews. It's like in America, we speak American. No, we speak English. We are Americans, but we don't speak American, we speak English. English comes from England, not America. So the Americans speak English, but we don't speak American. The same thing, Hebrews don't speak Hebrew, they speak Phoenician Canaanite. It's the Phoenician language, which we call, for lack of a better term, Hebrew. So there is no such a thing as a Hebrew language. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Jewish encyclopedias and look up Hebrew language, it traces it back to Phoenicia, to Cana, Canaanite language, Phoenician language. There is no Hebrew language. Probably one of the most important influences on Judaism in the world today is Zoroastrianism. And Zoroastrianism comes from Iraq. Iraq is the home of Zoroastrianism, and Zoroastrianism dominates Judaism. Almost all the teachings in Judaism come from Zoroastrianism in Iraq. I think it's awful interesting that today Iraq is now being plundered under. I wonder why. All of the teachings in Judaism can be traced back to Iraq. That's very interesting in my opinion.
Within the New World Order movement, there's something called the New Age movement also.
Yeah.
They talk about the Age of Aquarius, the dawning of a new age. Has the Age of Aquarius started or when that's going to start? And if there is there any connection to the end of the Mayan calendar, which ends it in the year 2011, December the 23rd, because the Mayan calendar,
you're right.
Their legends also speak about the dawning also of a new age. Is there a connection there also?
Yes. Adolf Hitler was very much involved with the dawning of a new age. This is a very profound subject that I've been dealing with for some 35 years. I have boxes of materials on this subject of the new age. I think it is a profoundly important subject that has not even begun to be really researched. I've been doing it for some 30 years on the concept of the dawning of a new age, the new age of Aquarius. As I said, the Nazis taught that there was coming a dawning of the new age. Now, I personally believe that there is something to this. But like everything else, you can take something that has a modicum of truth and then twist it to your own agenda. And I think that's what the Nazis were doing. They were taking something very ancient and using it. The Jewish people have the concept in the Jewish religion of a new age, a new era that's coming. Christianity talks about God's kingdom that's coming. There is some sort of legitimate, factual reason to believe that there is some kind of a new dawning coming, a new age coming. It's a very interesting subject. I would like to do a 3 hours on just that one subject, the dawning of the age of Aquarius, because I think there's legitimately something to it, but it's been misrepresented by the Nazis, by the communists, by the fascists, and I think that something is on its way for our world. There's going to be a change coming soon.
Interesting. You know, the reading a book on the Mayan calendar, supposedly by the year 2012, when it ends,
right,
there will be a new calendar broken up into 28-day months.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no longer going to be a 12-month cycle of the year.
Well, yeah. I, a lot of people say, well, the Mayan calendar is saying it's the end of the world in 2012. No, not. I mean, that's, even in Christianity, you hear that term, end of the world. The word world was mistranslated. The word in Greek was aeon, A-E-O-N, aeon. Aeon is mistranslated world. In point of fact, it doesn't mean world, it means age. So Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the world. No, I will be with you to the end of the aeon. I will be with you to the end of the age. The concept of what we call the new age is in the New Testament. The New Testament is a new age document talking about a coming new age, a new kingdom. And I think that this Mayan calendar is very closely connected to all the ancient world talking about some kind of a new dawn coming. I think that there's something to it.
Right. You know, and when I went to the Vatican 2 years ago, I saw an obelisk right in the middle of the Vatican. And I kind of understood the significance, and I asked the guide what an obelisk was doing there, which is supposedly the symbol of Osiris. Is
it? Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yes. You're talking about in the Vatican Square, there's an obelisk, like the Washington Monument. The Washington Monument is an Egyptian obelisk. An Egyptian obelisk represents the male phallic and erection. And it connects to the female ovaries, the Oval Office, okay? So consequently, when you see the symbols in Washington, D.C., they're sexual. The male phallic over the waters of life connecting to the female ovaries or the Oval Office. You need to understand, as I said so many times before, we are continually inundated with symbols and emblems that most people have no idea in the world what they mean.
Well, what's your opinion on Zion?
Zion is a political movement out of France and Switzerland. If you go back to the protocols of the Elders of Zion, the protocols were not Jewish at all, had nothing to do with Judaism at all. And the Jewish authorities today, when you bring up the subject of the protocols of elders, they will say, that's a forgery, that's a forgery. Wait a minute, what is a forgery? A forgery is a false document made to look like something which was real. So consequently, it's a play on words. When they say that the protocols of the Elders of Zion is a forgery, I say, all right, if it's a forgery, let's look at the original then, of which this is a forgery, right? They didn't say it was not true at all. They said it's a forgery. Why? Because Zion, Z-I-O-N, that's a whole subject in itself, going all the way back to the Priory de Sion in France. This is why in the movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Nazis are looking for the Lost Ark. And the Nazis are being led in their hunting for the Lost Ark by a Frenchman. A French archaeologist is leading the Nazis. There's a connection here. Why are the French leading the Nazis looking for the Jewish lost ark? There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff tied up with Steven Spielberg's movies. This Frenchman represents the French occultist, the Priory de Sion, the Holy House of Zion, Z-I-O-N, but it's not Zion, it's S-I-O-N, the Holy House of Sion. This is why in France there's a city called Sion, and in Switzerland there's a city called Sion. And the fraternal orders, the secret societies operating in Switzerland, in Sion, Switzerland, and Sion, France, are referred to as the Holy House of Sion, or Zion. So Zionism is not Jewish at all. Zionism, in point of fact, is Masonic. And it has to do with a Gentile domination of the world using an ancient concept and an ancient word. So it has nothing to do with Judaism at all. Zionism has nothing to do with being Jewish. It's a phenomenal world that we live in. And again, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here with you.